President George W. Bush and Senator John Kerry campaigned furiously in key electoral battleground states, exchanging attacks on gun control, Iraq, and the economy. The president took a bus trip through rural West Virginia and Ohio, while Mr. Kerry was in Missouri, and NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson reports.
For weeks, President Bush has sought to keep John Kerry on the defensive about Iraq, blaming him for shifting positions on the war and for failing to support the troops. Yesterday, in Huntington, West Virginia, the president went further. He said if John Kerry had his way, Saddam Hussein would still be a threat. The president was joined by the Bush campaign's most famous Democratic convert, Georgia Senator Zell Miller, whose fiery speech at the Republican convention made him persona non grata in his own party, but a rock star among Republicans. If Miller's remarks yesterday weren't exactly the steak tartare he served to the Republican delegates in New York City, they were red meat all the same. He said there was only one man who would keep his family safe from terrorists.
One man who will keep on the offensive, never wavering, never wobbling, never weak in the knees. And that man is George W. Bush.
Yesterday, President Bush took his campaign bus through rural West Virginia and southern Ohio, looking for votes in counties he carried in 2000. He's trying to boost Republican turnout there this year in hopes of winning both those states again. These Appalachian and southern Ohio communities have lost jobs, and voters there might be receptive to John Kerry's economic message. But these are also communities with lots of young people in the military, and they are full of culturally conservative voters. So the president talked about issues he doesn't often stress on the campaign trail: abortion, gay marriage, and gun rights.
We believe. We stand for a culture of life in which every person matters and every being counts. We stand for marriage and family, which are the foundations of society. We stand for the Second Amendment, which gives every American the individual right to bear arms.
On Monday, the assault weapons ban expires, and although President Bush has said he's for an extension, he's done little to push the issue in Congress. John Kerry, campaigning in Missouri, says the president is trying to have it both ways.
George Bush, who says, oh, I'm for that, never asked the Congress to pass it, never pushed the Congress to pass it, never stood up, caves into the NRA, gives into the special interests, and America's streets will not be as safe because of the choice that George Bush is making.
And Kerry tied the assault weapons ban to the fight against terrorism.
The 9/11 Commission and other reports have shown that Al-Qaeda wanted to come into America, and in the Al-Qaeda manual on terror, they were telling people to go out and buy assault weapons, to come to America and buy assault weapons. And you can't fight a war on terror, and you can't make our streets safe, which every enforcement officer in this nation knows. Every police chief in America, every law enforcement officer in America doesn't want us selling assault weapons in the streets of America.
Although many Democrats believe Vice President Al Gore's support of gun registration laws lost him states like West Virginia in 2000, the Kerry campaign believes an extension of the assault weapons ban has broad support this year. Neither candidate discussed a controversy that is raging in the wings of the presidential campaign: newly disclosed documents from a former Air National Guard commander of George W. Bush's. They suggest Mr. Bush, then a young lieutenant, used family connections to get out of serving. Questions have been raised about the documents' authenticity, questions the Bush campaign is happy to keep alive. Yesterday, White House spokesman Scott McClellan blamed the memo's release on an orchestrated effort by the Kerry campaign. But CBS News, which first reported the memos, is sticking by its story. CBS says the memos have been examined by forensic experts and that no definitive evidence has emerged to prove they are not authentic. Mara Liasson, NPR News.